Hi, thank you for joining us for another session of Dedication. Fans, remember the Bay City Rollers, the only Bay City Rollers themed podcast in the world, hosted by Bay City Rollers Fan Events. I'm Suze, and my lovely, lovely co-host is Laura. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Suze, how you doing?
Good. How's it going, girl?
It's going. It's Friday.
It's Friday.
But need I say more?
We've had a busy week at Bay City Roller Fan Events.
We have. The
Tartan Day Parade looks like it's finally a go for 2022.
And so much to plan for
so
that.
So much to plan.
It's fun.
We've done our first successful live music stream as a fundraiser.
Yes,
and we're in the middle of planning our second one that's going to be on the 20th of March to celebrate our buddy Derek's birthday.
That is going to be a lot of fun.
So much fun. I'm so excited. We have Barley Juice performing and Brian's coming back to do a set of music just for Derek. And we are in full Tartan Day Parade mode. It's been way
sure
too
are.
Long since we were able to get together. We need this. I'm just
so
excited
yes,
for this.
We do.
Well, I'll tell you what else I'm excited for. Our guest today is someone who needs absolutely no introduction. Mm-hmm. We are joined today by someone who has been so lovely and generous to the fan community, one of our favorite people in the whole world, Eileen Longmuir. Are you ready to get her on the line, Laura?
I sure am.
Okay, here we go. Hello, Eileen. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you? It's lovely to speak to you.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. We've been wanting to do this for a long time. Doing all right here. It's a bit cold in Philadelphia. It looks beautiful outside, but it's very deceiving. It's cold.
Yeah.
Same thing here in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
Yeah, we're a bit cold here as well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the
but
spring.
That's nothing new for us, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so let's start, if you don't mind, if we ask how you and Alan met. We remember from a previous podcast, I think it was Jan and Diane. I think it was Jan. And she talked about Alan coming up to her one night at a gig saying how he met this woman and he was completely smitten. Was it just, and he was excited and he had this new lady and he was very excited. So tell us about, you know, meeting him if you want to, if you will. And was it the same for you? Were you smitten right away too?
Yeah, I suppose I was actually. We used to joke that we met at a hen night. Because I was on a girly night out. One of my friends had become engaged to a gentleman who was Alan's friend, and he worked offshore on the rigs. And she had got engaged to him. We thought we'd have a wee engagement party. We decided to have it at his house, who and Alan was actually between addresses, shall we say, at the time,
mm-hmm.
and he was house-sitting for him. He was supposed to be doing a gig down south, down in England somewhere. So we decided it was the 17th of March, 1994, so we decided we'd have a wee girly night, an engagement come St. Patrick's Day party. With food and drink and what have you, and we dance and what. So I mean, I don't know, there maybe 10 or 12 of us or something like that, all ladies, and Alan's gig was cancelled and he had come back to get some stuff, and we just said, come on and have a wee drink with us, we'll introduce you to everybody, and we just got talking from there. And that was, I think Alan and I sat up to the early hours of the morning just sitting talking to each other. It was lovely. It was really, really nice.
And out of all those 12 girls, he zeroed in on you. I like that.
It was nice. It was lovely. It was. And don't get me wrong, I knew Alan was staying there, but didn't expect to meet him or anything. And then when I did meet him, he was just so lovely. You know, totally different from what you expect. And we just really hit it off, and it was just smashing. Lovely.
Now, so he was touring with the club dates with Eric and Woody at the time. Is that right? In 94?
Right, yes.
So they were still kind of doing their thing.
They were, yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alan, when I met Alan, that's what he was doing. He had quite a bit of ill health before that, and was basically just doing weekends and stuff with Eric and Woods. But as I say, that weekend it had been cancelled. But I think mostly it was away, you know, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or back on a Sunday, you know, whatever. But that was about all he was doing at that time because of his health.
So, they were still gigging. How quickly did it become serious for you? Was he still traveling? Because he did come to the States, or was that later?
I'm not sure. No, I think it was before I actually met him. He was in the States. He used to do most weekends, not very much. I think he was in Japan. After we were together, and they'd done a television show and stuff in Japan. I think maybe it was about 92, 93 that they were in America. I'm not very sure. But I was working full time. So the weekends, Alan was away every weekend, and it suited me because the boys were young. So my family time with the boys was the weekend. And we had a caravan down in Ayrshire near a place called Troon. And I used to go every weekend with the boys. So it worked out great,
actually.
It worked out really, really well. I still had my family time with the boys. And Alan and I were, you know, basically together all the time when he wasn't, you know, gigging and that. So it was really nice. It worked out really, really well. And I was really surprised because I don't know about Alan, but I certainly wasn't looking for a serious relationship at all, you know. I was just quite happy with my life the way it was going at the time. So, but these things, I suppose, what's meant for you.
Absolutely. So you said you met in 94, right?
94.
And got married in 98. Is that right?
Sorry?
Did you get married in 98?
We got married in 1998. We got engaged in December 1996.
Okay.
And we were hoping to have a very short engagement and get married the following spring. We didn't see the point in waiting. You know, we were older, we knew what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
There didn't seem much point in waiting too long. But Alan had actually, he had his stroke on the 1st of February 1997.
Oh,
so we basically had to postpone the wedding for a year. You know, until he was fit enough to fly and what have you, and then we got married in St. Lucia in April 1998.
Oh, okay. So did he have two strokes? Or just
I think he maybe had a few mini strokes and what have you.
Yeah.
But the big stroke was in 1997. Prior to that he had a couple of heart attacks.
Oh, okay.
I think 93 or something like that. 93, 94, just before, I think actually just a few weeks before I met him. Not very long before I met him. And then he always had sort of, you know, he was in and out of hospital quite often, to be honest. And all the time I knew him, he really, you know, he had regular visits to the hospital, they all knew him. He knew most of the staff by their first name.
Oh,
a shame, but that was just the way it was, you know.
So you went through all that rehabilitation and everything before you got married.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's
we had to postpone the wedding, but it was fine. It was better.
Sure.
It was better to do that, and you know, it was. Okay, well, I suppose it gave us another year to make sure we were doing the right thing, although I don't think, to be honest, any of the 2 years have I had any doubt.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
He had quite the incentive for getting well, didn't he? You.
So, all day, well.
Yeah.
I would like to think so.
For sure.
But no, he was very determined. And it was a scary time because we didn't know quite how he was going to recover from it. And I think it was the right side of the brain which affects the left hand side of the body or something.
That's
like
right.
That, because Alan was left handed.
Yep.
So everything was a bit in the air, up in the air, you know, he couldn't walk without two sticks for a long time. His speech wasn't affected, but obviously he couldn't play guitar and stuff like that. So it was sheer determination on his part, to be honest, that he made such a brilliant recovery from it. And he always had a wee weakness in the left-hand side. He never, you know, but nothing that you would notice too much. So, and it was his sheer determination, I think, to make sure he got over it. And just, I was there just to support him and make sure that, you know, he was always encouraged to do so and what have you. So,
yeah, I mean, seeing him after, you would never know. I mean, he was, you know, you would never know that he had any issues like that. That's pretty serious.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like he made an absolute full recovery.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's amazing. As I say, it did take quite a time.
Yeah.
It's not the type of things you want to advertise too much. But no. Yeah, he had, you know, for a long time after he had the stroke, he had a special chair with a table in the front of it and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If I was working, my mother who lived nearby would go round and make him tea and something to eat at lunchtime and things like that, because basically he just really at first, for about the first 6 months or so, he really couldn't do very much for himself at all. You know, so
God, he had you.
But as I say, as he got stronger, he just got more determined, I think. So that was it.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank goodness for that. And yeah. Like I said, I'm sure that you played a large part in that, in his recovery. So that's wonderful.
I'm no Florence Nightingale, but I was there with the support.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to think I was there with the support and the encouragement.
Yeah. Well, you know how much we love him and you.
Thank you.
So, let's fast forward to 2007. You attended a fan event with Alan. He was one of the special guests with Eric, the UK 2K in Edinburgh. Was that your first fan event?
It was, yeah. Oh. It was our 9th wedding anniversary, actually.
Oh, I remember. That's right. There were flowers, weren't there?
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest, when I met Alan, the fame and fortune had all gone.
Yeah.
And we were just like an ordinary married couple. Obviously, we'd go out now and again, and somebody would maybe recognise him and ask for a photo or, you know, an autograph or something. But it wasn't really, you know, like living the lifestyle or anything like it used to be.
More like a novelty.
So I was really unsure what it entailed and what I was actually going to be doing that weekend. You know, I really didn't have much of a clue, but we just thought, oh, lovely, it's in Edinburgh. We'll go along, we'll see how it goes. And I don't know who was more surprised, to be honest, Alan or me.
Yeah.
You know, he never got over the fact that, you know, all these years later, that people were still, you know, interested enough to come along and see them and do things, be city rollers and what have you. I think he thought that life and the style, you know, had long, long gone before that. So it was a brilliant weekend.
It really was. And
completely brilliant.
People from, I mean, literally all over the world. I mean, you know, I mean, it was such a great weekend. And it was
I couldn't believe it. And I know Alan couldn't either. As I say, we didn't know what to expect. And I think, you know, they did. They came from all over the world. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously America and Canada and Australia and all these places. Iceland, there was somebody there from Iceland,
Germany.
I think the least people that were there were probably Scottish people. Everybody else seemed to have travelled.
The funniest thing was...
I think we were the ones that lived near us, sort of thing. Yeah. You know? It was amazing, the dedication after all those years, you know.
Philadelphia had the most people there, which is crazy.
Is that right? Oh,
there were like six of us from Philadelphia at the Philly table. So,
Do you know something? I think there was something posted. I think it was maybe you, Suze, that posted something the other day from the UK 2K.
I did.
You know, that weekend. And I was looking, and, you know, at the time I didn't know anybody. And see the amount of faces I now recognise. You know, and I'm thinking, I didn't realise that, you know, they were there. And, you know, because I spoke to so many people that night and I just can't remember everybody.
That's right.
Until I saw this, you know, and Most of the names I remember, but some of them I don't, but I know the faces. And I thought, oh my goodness, all these people traveling all that way, it's unbelievable.
And still doing it.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I remember I was watching it again because someone sent me a PM to say, where's the link for that event? So I quickly went and found it and put it up. And I watched Alan's Q&A again. I just love watching him. He's just so sweet and lovely. And I'm looking in the crowd too saying, she was there? I don't remember that. And she, you know,
that's what I was like, you know, I was like, oh, that's
so funny.
Must have been where I met so-and-so before, you know?
And I did have to question not only my hair, but my outfits. It's like, no.
I thought you looked lovely.
Oh, at the time, I thought I was smoking hot.
And you are.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Eileen. Thank you. All right. Now, you also attended the North American premiere of Alan's play, and I Ran with the Gang in Toronto in 2016. Yeah. That was such a powerful and amazing weekend. What are your memories of that event?
Oh, again, you know, I hadn't really been to anything like that. So, you know, obviously we had been to Edinburgh, to I Ran with the Gang at Edinburgh, mm-hmm. and it was brilliant. And I loved it, and the guys that played the parts and stuff. And I honestly didn't know how it was going to work when we went to Toronto. And just from the minute we stepped off the plane, in fact, from the minute we stepped on the plane, to be honest, it was such a fantastic time. Everything was so well organised and, you know, so well run. And it was just absolutely fantastic. And right, you know, from the hotel to, I think it was Alan's birthday when we were
it
there.
It was, yeah.
I've still to taste a birthday cake as good as it was that
it
night.
It was so good.
Forget it was so delicious. The lovely meal and everything, and the boat trips, and oh, it was fantastic. And I just loved Toronto. It was my first time in Canada.
Yeah.
And I'm not a great one for cities, because I'm more a country girl, if you like. Love Edinburgh. That's my favourite city. And then I didn't know what to expect going to Toronto, and I absolutely loved it.
It's definitely a manageable.
I was walking along the road one day, and I heard someone shouting my name, and it was somebody. it was actually Wendy that had produced. She was the director. Sorry, not producer. She was the director of I Ran with the Gang the first year it was on.
Oh, okay.
And it was her partner Shan, and she was sitting on a bench and shouted as we walked past, and all like that. You know, the last thing we expected, she was doing a play. She was an actress. She was touring with some play over there. So it was absolutely amazing.
Oh my God, it's a small world. So we did a good job with that one, you think?
Oh, fantastic. Absolutely.
That was an amazing weekend.
Wasn't it? It was absolutely brilliant. And just, you know, everything from the way the raffle and everything was organised to, you know, the buffet and the entertainment and everything was so smooth, everybody meeting Alan and everything, and all the other guys as well, obviously. Just fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Couldn't have asked for more.
Yeah. It was a pleasure, an absolute pleasure.
It was excellent. It was brilliant.
It was definitely special. Then, of course, sadly, there was the memorial event held in Stirling in 2019. You have always been so good to us, so wonderful and gracious to all the fan base. What do you make of us after all these years? And then I have a follow-up.
It's fantastic. I mean, I know that Alan was very humbled by the fact that people had followed him all this time and everything. And, you know, I think the way you've brought me into the bosom of your family, if you like, you know, your roller family.
Absolutely.
It was just fantastic. Absolutely. I just love everybody well, mostly.
Yeah, exactly.
It's brilliant. It's what? Absolutely fantastic. And the memorial was a wee bit bittersweet for me. I wanted it to go ahead. I didn't know if I could cope with it going ahead and what have you. But again, people came from all over the world. Mm. Everybody was fantastic. You know, the turnout, the entertainment. Just everybody, you know, a year after Alan had passed, just to want to be there, just to to celebrate his life was absolutely brilliant.
And I don't know about you, but during the event, it felt joyous. It felt, you know, like it was a real reflection of him and our feelings for him. I mean, of course,
absolutely,
there were sad moments leading up to it. We went to the burial site, and that was difficult. Yeah. But the night of the event, I just felt so much love in that room, you know?
Absolutely, without a doubt, yeah. Oh, I was the same as I say. I was dreading the event. I didn't know if I'd get through it. And there was a few tears on the night.
Sure.
But, no, it was, as you say, the love in the room was just outstanding.
Palpable.
It was fantastic. Yeah. I couldn't have asked for any more.
I wish we could do it every year.
The only thing is, a lot of it was a sort of blur. You know,
right.
I look at photos after it and I go, oh, I forgot I had spoke to them, or I forgot they were there, and you know, it was, but then it, you know, it was just because it just went by in a flash.
Yeah, it goes by so fast.
It was so lovely, so wonderful, really. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, it's definitely a labor of love for sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's not something I would have thought about, you know, having for Alan or anything like that. And it was just, as I say, a year on, it was like the only thing that was missing was him from the room. Well, he was there and cardboard cutouts and pictures,
yeah,
and what have you. But, you know, well, I'm saying that, but I really did feel as if he was in the room that night.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Well,
he was there, I think.
Yeah. Speaking about the fan and the fan base, how do you feel about, like, seeing your husband's face all over the internet and grown women, like, kind of oogling him? Do the fans' reaction comfort you, or is it somewhat uncomfortable?
Mostly, well, to be honest, it depends how I feel when I get up in the morning. You know?
Yeah.
Because every time you open Facebook, there's pictures there. And
yeah,
to be honest, most of the time, it's lovely, and I've got used to seeing them, and it's magical that people, you know, like, he's been dead for 2 years, 8 months now, and it's brilliant that people still want to post photos of him on a daily basis and still want to remember him, and it's great. There is the odd comment that will go up, and I think, you know, that's a wee bit inappropriate. You know, he might have been your teenage crush, but he was my husband, you know.
Yes.
But I think that's probably just the way I was feeling at the time. Because to be honest, when Alan was here and somebody would write something a wee bit inappropriate, shall we say, we'll keep it clean. Alan and I would sit and laugh. We would laugh about these things, you know. And it was amazing. You know, it was just fantastic. It's just really, I'm saying that, you know, the odd negative thing, but really 99.9% it's brilliant that people, you know, because I mean, some people pass and that's it, you never see or hear from them, then, you know, a few years down the line you go, oh, that's right, yeah, you know. But whereas, well, certainly for me with Alan, he's getting remembered every day, and I think that's something really, really special that not
special.
A lot of people will have in their life, you know.
Yeah. Well, we know there are a lot of, yeah, there are a lot of wonderful things, but there are some of the downfalls pertaining to fandoms, just in general, you know. It's just as what it is, you know.
Yeah, I mean, 90-odd percent of the fans are absolutely fantastic, but you always get, you know, that odd percentage that, you know, they'll come on and somebody will ask a question and they'll come on and it's, they've said it, so it's a fact, you know.
Oh,
and you think,
yeah,
no, that's not quite true, but you don't want to get into a, you know, an online battle or anything. And then you get the ones that basically keyboard warriors that just go out there to spread their vitriol, and you know, because that's the way they are. But as I say, I'm very, very happy to say they are very few and far between, and I've just got to put it down to the fact that In a few cases, I know it's jealousy over the fact that of the way Alan and I were with each other, you know, how much we loved each other and the brilliant relationship we had. So, you know, you're better ignoring these people.
Absolutely. Anyone who was in your presence for more than less than 3 seconds knew that you two were just joined at the hip, perfect soulmates, besotted yeah. with each other, and it was just, it was lovely to be around that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people always said that, and I didn't really realize it at the time, you know, until, you know, I'm not talking about after Alan passed, I'm talking about even when he was here, people would say, oh, as soon as I met the two of you together, I knew, or, you know, I spoke about Alan, or he spoke about me, and they could see how we felt about each other and things like that. So, yeah, and looking back at some of the photos, we're always smiling at each
laughing,
other. Laughing,
smiling.
Well, I'm not saying always, because we're like every other couple, you know.
Exactly, but, always laughing and smiling.
You know, most of the time it was just, we just really cared very, very deeply for each other.
Yeah, you could tell for sure. Will you share some of your favorite Bay City Roller memories as Alan's wife, if there are any, or some of your worst? You can choose. dish.
Well, as I said before, Alan, if you got him, he didn't speak about the Bay City Rollers much. He spoke mostly about his plumbing. And
is that right?
You know, that's the type of person he was. And to be honest, there was times when he was working, he would come in and talk about his work, and I'm quite sure I could have took a spanner and a plunger and went up the stairs and fitted a bathroom, you know, because he spoke about that one, to be honest. And when he was so proud of himself becoming a, when he trained for the Scottish Water, you know, at the age of 60, he trained to be a bylaws inspector for Scottish Water, and was so proud of himself, you know, at that age, getting that qualification and what have you. So, but when he got speaking about his Bay City Roller days, oh, he had some stories, absolutely. But you know, they were his stories. We didn't share those stories. But I think for me, it was probably getting when. He was approached to do a run with the gang in Edinburgh. Mm. Well, we didn't know what it was then, because basically Liam Rudden, who was a producer, director and what have you, playwright and what have you, he had actually asked Alan quite a few times. He had asked Alan if he would consider, you know, he wanted to write a play about him. 3 years, I think, he asked him. Oh. And Alan always refused. And then he had just been paid off as a bylaws inspector, and he was hanging about the house, and I said, look, what have you got to lose? It's, you know, it's 3 weeks in Edinburgh. Mm. You can do it, you know. Mm-hmm. I was working full-time at the time, but I said, I'll get some holidays, and we'll go, and we'll enjoy Edinburgh, we'll enjoy the fringe, there's so much to see and do. So we went with not a lot of high hopes, to be honest.
Surprise!
I think, Liam, because of the time Alan had agreed to do it, I think it was something like 6 or 10 days that the play was written, cast and rehearsed before it opened.
Is that
right?
Wow.
I never had a chance to actually think about what was happening, you know.
Wow.
And maybe that was a good thing. And we were told as well, Liam had said to us, he had been involved in the Fringe for years and years, and he had said to us, look, there's 3,000 and odd things go on during the Fringe. Mm-hmm. And when you cut it down to audience members, he says, I mean, the average audience is 4, you know.
Yeah.
so we went, and we really didn't have high hopes, but right from the first night it was an absolute smash.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we used to sit outside the hotel in George Street. And it was funny because women would come along and Alan would be sitting there with the skip cap on, maybe reading the newspapers or something like that. And we loved to people watch the two of us always, you know, when we were on holiday or anywhere we were together, we loved to people watch. And these women, there was a big 6-foot or 8-foot poster, you know, hanging from the hotel.
Yep.
About Alan. And these women used to stand in front of the table and say, oh, Alan, I love you, and blow him kisses, and I'm coming to see you later, you know. And we used to just look at each other and start laughing because they were actually standing there and didn't realise it was him, you know. I think they thought he was still going to look about 30, you know. And that happened on a daily basis.
I can see the expression on his face. I can just see it in my mind. The look.
I know. But I think for me, when he went back on the stage, I had seen him a couple of times, you know, maybe doing a Butlins weekend or something like mm-hmm. 70s weekend, something like that. But for me to see him going on that stage and to see his confidence coming back, you know, and to see how much he enjoyed performing, he enjoyed being on the stage. And it wouldn't have mattered if there was only four in the audience.
Yeah.
It was the sheer joy of performing again that you know, for me, that just was so special to see him coming back. And then, of course, there was the reunions. They were something else, and I had never. It was a very, very small, I suppose, insight into what it had been like back in the day.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely fantastic, and I couldn't believe it. You know, like the Barrowlands in Glasgow and the Usher Hall in Edinburgh. I didn't go down south. I didn't go with them when it was down south and stuff like that. But all the gigs, you know, up here, it was, you know, men. Women in their 50s and 60s, men,
mm-hmm.
men that would never have, you know, admitted to being Bay City Roller fans.
Exactly.
All, and, you know, as many of them as women in some cases, mm-hmm. out to enjoy themselves. And, you know, and I remember Alan and I saying, well, how much does they were doing one night at the Badlands. And they weren't sure it was going to be a success or a flop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they had decided to do one night with the option of another 3 or something like that. And I remember Alan and I saying to each other, well, how many does it take? And they went, 2,500, 3,000, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, Alan said, well, you know, if we got a quarter of the hall filled, that'd be really good. And I said, well, it's Christmas, so you might get half the hall filled.
Yeah,
And basically every single ticket plus sold out within 3 minutes of the first show going on. And I think they released the other 3 dates and the whole lot sold out in about 12 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was,
you know, and
something
the first night there was a VIP area and it got smaller until the third night there was absolutely no VIP area because there was just... there was no room to slip a newspaper between people.
Oh, wow.
It was so packed and so busy, and it was just amazing. It was amazing for me because I had never really seen that before, you know, and everybody dressed up in their tartan and singing and, you know, just, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I was at the first Barrowlands show and the Usher Hall, and I'll tell you, that first Glasgow show, I mean, it was intense. It didn't look that way, but we went down in the front right away because we wanted to stay. I was with Jeanette, and we wanted to sit by the front. Well, I mean, you turned around, and there was a wall of people. You weren't going anywhere. You know, it was just like back, you know, where they're pushing up and pushing up and pushing up. I was like, oh, my God, I really am 12 again.
I know.
But, when they came on.
And it was, you know, it wasn't even like... it was sort of empty, and then when they came on, it went to the front. You know,
mm-hmm.
just people were packed right against the stage from the word go, you know?
Yes, they were. And then they
and
were
as
not
I
moving.
Say, you know, there was a wee area the first night was all blocked off for, well, I wouldn't call myself a VIP, but, you know, like friends and family and mm-hmm. what have you. Right at the very back of the hall, not at the front or anything, right at the very back. And, I mean, it just had disappeared by the time, because the demand was
so great, so great,
unbelievable. You know, it was really brilliant. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was fantastic, and something that I hadn't encountered before. And I knew people loved the Bay City Rollers and what have you. And you know, years on, they still. Like, I mean, there was a fondness for them. You know,
sure.
Obviously, I liked them. Well, I liked them back in the day. I was more a David Cassidy fan, as everybody seems to know. But, you know, I still had a fondness for the music and anything 70s, really, but I never realised the intensity
mm-hmm.
and the dedication of people like yourselves that have followed them always,
yeah.
you know.
Yes.
I'm not saying everybody in that hall at the Barrowlands had always followed them since they were, you know, 14, 15, but it was just fantastic the way they were they were welcomed back, you know. And well, I mean, it was 40, I think it was something like 40 years at that stage.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a, yep.
Yeah, something like 40 years they had been
40 years. Might have been 41, but yeah. But they try, I lost my train of thought. Okay, well, so they tried to, I guess lightning doesn't strike twice, and they tried to do that again the following year.
Uh-huh.
And was there a difference between the two years?
I think they done more down south, down in England and Wales and stuff the second year. Uh-huh.
So they were hitting different places.
Yeah, and it was the hydro in Glasgow. So it was obviously a lot bigger than the Barlands. And it was good. It was really good, but it just didn't have the same, for me.
Yeah.
For me personally, it didn't have the same atmosphere or anything. But then they would do, I think it was the second year, they done the Hug Monet show, you know, the New Year's Eve show in Glasgow for the BBC, you know.
Yeah.
And it was brilliant.
Yeah, that was
so
that was...
Personally, I preferred the slightly more intimate, if you like, the more intimate gigs, you know, rather than being in this huge big hall and what have you. But it was still really good. It was really good. But I must say, I really enjoyed the first year more.
Yeah, it's a shame that it ended not great the second time as well, but these things happen. But that first go around was just magical.
It was really, really good. I mean, they had problems first year round as well, but no, it was really good.
Mm.
It was excellent. I thought it was brilliant and it was well deserved, you know.
Absolutely.
So definitely.
Well, let's talk about tartan. I want to talk about Alan's beautiful tartan, the proud son of Edinburgh. For people who don't know about how all that happened, do you want to tell us a little bit about the history of it?
After Alan passed, Gillian Watkins and Leslie Stirrett had approached me. Leslie's a traditional kilt maker. So she works with tartans and things all the time and what have you. And they approached me and asked me how I would feel about getting a tartan for Alan, which is not something I had ever considered or even knew you could do, to be honest. So she had said about, you know, she had contacts in the mills and things like that, and what, you know, how would I feel? And we sort of spoke about it. And then they came through one day and we sat and talked about it, and they said, well, what was his favourite tartan? And I said, well, latterly it was more like the blues and purples and stuff like that. That was his favourite waistcoat that he always wore around with the gang. I said, so really, I suppose, I think it was something like Braveheart tartan, you know, and there's one Spirit of Bannockburn tartan, which is very similar. Mm. And these were all the sort of tartans that he liked. So we sat down and we sort of chose the colours. And I think we chose the colours. There's a wee story because we decided, oh, the purple for the heather on the Ochil Hills, which we look out onto, and the blue for the Bannockburn, you know, for where we stay and what have you. And we just went from there and we picked the colours. And then, the designers at the mill helped us pick different, you know, they done different patterns and things, and we sort of worked with them, and then we came up with the pattern. So, and it was originally just supposed to be a one-off for the family, you know, for me. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be gifted for me. But when people started, a couple of newspapers got a hold of it, and people started to, get really interested in it. So we thought, well, you know, it'd be nice to share it, even if it was just in a wee square of tartan with a wee thistle on it or something like that. And it just meant that everybody could have a bit of Alan's, you know, proud son of Edinburgh tartan. So that's where it's went. And it's just really sort of escalated from there. You know, it's been absolutely amazing the way it's been received. Brilliant.
Again, it's just
beautiful.
A testament to how loved he is, you know. We want a piece of it, you know, a tangible piece of it. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's really beautiful. It looks good on everyone. It's like the traveling pants, the sisterhood of the traveling.
Oh yeah.
The colors look good on everyone. It's unbelievable. And purple's a hard color to pull off, I think, but it's really gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Actually, I've never really thought about it that way, but I think you're right. It seems to suit. And there is a very pink, actually, but it's a very slim, you know, a very mm-hmm. narrow line in mm-hmm. the tartan. So I think, it's lovely for women, but I think it's also nice, you know, for a man as well.
Absolutely.
It's not too girly or anything, you know.
No, it's beautiful.
I think it is lovely when you see it, you know. Derek had his kilt onto the memorial,
mm-hmm.
and it was lovely when you mm-hmm. saw it.
Yeah,
you know, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
When he
and
walked
Derek
in,
wore his with just a grey shirt and a grey waistcoat, you know, which doesn't sound as if it goes, but it was actually lovely.
Yeah, when he walked in wearing that, the crowd just went wow. It was just a wow moment for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, this segues nicely into the Tartan Day Parade in New York City. So. Finally, after two cancellations, we're starting to feel really good about 2022.
Absolutely.
So, for those who don't know yet, but with your help and blessings, we at Bay City Roller Fan Events are coordinating Bay City Roller fans to march in the parade in 2022.
Sorry,
is that the kitty?
Yeah, the dogs have the cat coming in the window. So. Sorry about that.
Hey, that's what this is all about. We love it. If there's not a cat involved, we just can't do this anymore.
Well, did you not hear the one meowing earlier?
I did.
No. Two cats and two dogs, honestly. It's a nightmare trying to keep them all quiet.
Oh, I love
it.
All right. So anyway, we're talking about the Tartan Day Parade, and we are going to be proudly marching up 6th Avenue, representing the proud son of Edinburgh Tartan. Not only are we thrilled to have your blessing to do this, but you are coming to New York to march with us. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yay!
Oh, I can't. Honestly, I'm so, so excited. When it was supposed to be 2020, it was
yes, that's
excellent.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, one thing, you know, the COVID came and it was sort of put on hold and it was so disappointing and what have you. And then, you know, this year, you're getting nearer and nearer. It's not going to happen, you know, because nobody's had all their COVID injections mm-hmm. and what have you. But now that we've decided to next year, surely to goodness, it'll go ahead. And really, I'm so excited because, you know, just this last few weeks, we've been talking, you know, about it going ahead for next year and everything, and I'm so, so excited. I've actually never been to America before. I flew over America so many times. I've never actually landed on terra firma. And New York.
You are picking the best city to start. You're definitely picking the big one. We're going to take such good care of you and show you all the sights, take you to see a Broadway show, Eaton Hell's Kitchen. Brilliant. We're going to do it all. have a true New York experience.
I think the fact that, you know, I can't even hardly think about it because it gets me so emotional, but just the fact that we're going to be walking down 6th Avenue with
mm-hmm.
Alan's Tartan,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
and the crowd, you won't believe the crowd, because when we, gosh, it was 2018 when Suze and I decided to go to New York City for the week, that weekend that they were holding the Tartan Day Parade, it was like probably like 10 people deep on either side of the street.
Yeah,
to see this parade.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable.
And Laura turns around and said, "We should do this." And I'm like, "You're crazy." And then we're like, "We should do this." It was all her idea.
Oh, fantastic! Honestly,
it's going to be epic.
It's such an honor. You know, I can't put into words just how proud.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to it.
I can't. And it is funny because we, you know, we went to New York City for a fun girls' weekend in Next thing you know, it's like we're gonna march down Sixth Avenue too.
Oh, it's fantastic! Honestly, I can see it just now.
Mm. It's gonna be wonderful. A lot of people are looking forward to this, yeah. And it's just going to be wonderful to be able to
be together,
Alan, to honor the Bay City Rollers
and be together again. I mean, I haven't seen Laura in a year. A year from now, we were in Halifax,
Les and his Bay City Rollers. I have not seen friends or been in a restaurant since we were in Halifax in Canada a year ago.
A year ago this week, actually.
Yeah, I think. I've been about the same, to be honest. Mm. Yeah. I've seen family and what have you, and I think twice when the restaurants opened for a very, very short time, they weren't allowed to sell alcohol or anything like that, so it was basically in for a meal and straight back out.
Mm.
A few friends went just to support, you know, like it was McCune's, you know,
sure.
The local,
yeah.
And it was just to support them. But apart from that, I don't think I've been out since the end of February last year.
Yeah, wow. That sounds about right.
And, you know, it's just, I had an appointment with my cardiologist, and she had advised me to go into lockdown before it actually happened.
Oh, wow.
So, it's been since, it was just a couple of weeks before, mind you, but I think it was round about the 17th of March here, something like that.
Mm.
But basically from the end of February. So I can't wait to get out. I've got gate fever now just talking about.
Yeah, oh, I know.
And I've had to cancel so many holidays and stuff, you know. I was supposed to be going to Benidorm for a week with the Tartanettes, Longyear's Tartanettes, we're going on tour. And that's, I don't know if you know, but that's all women from all over Scotland
that got together.
I think they got together at some parade in Edinburgh, and they didn't know each other at the time. So they all got together, and we usually do a Zoom call on a Friday night, actually. So we were supposed to be going for a week to Spain, a week early weekend. I had a cruise cancelled.
Oh, boy.
My son and daughter-in-law had got me a cruise for my 60th, and it was cancelled last year to this year, and it's now been cancelled this year to next year. So it's just lovely to think that
it's,
you know, that we're going to get out the house.
Yes, exactly. Well,
further than the park with the dogs, you know. it's getting me quite excited even thinking about it. But really, I think that I can't even imagine how I'm going to feel. You know. Next April, just going to be absolutely amazing.
It is. Well, if we could have any good thing that came of this, is that we've had 2 extra years to fundraise, and we're trying to do it softly, so we're not just hammering. So we want to make this this memorable for every attendee, and also to keep the uniform package affordable for everyone. So we've been running, running auctions and raffles, and this, but we started doing live music events, which we're so excited about. We can't believe we're doing it, but we're doing it. And
it's been so much fun.
Now we're celebrating Derek's birthday for our second live music stream event on March 20th. And Derek has RSVP'd saying he's going to attend. He attended the first one.
Excellent.
We'll have 2 sets of music that night and a raffle draw for some Derek themed goodies. And we'd like to know if you'd come, if you're available.
Oh, try and stop me.
Excellent.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Brian, I've heard before, and obviously I played at the memorial and things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was at your last one online. With Craig and Brian, Craig the Piper, it was lovely. Barley Juice?
Barley Juice. I think you're going to love them. They're great.
Well, I hadn't heard them, but I've been on YouTube a few times and seen different things, and they're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So really looking forward to hearing
so
them
glad
as well.
To hear that. Yes. They're great friends.
Awesome.
They actually performed at the Philadelphia 40th anniversary event that we held. They were wonderful. And Les was supposed to come, and like the last minute he couldn't get over. So they had like, they did a whole extra set for us. They learned a couple of Bay City Roller songs. They just tore the house down. Everyone left, just a huge fan. So that was exciting, you know.
It just puts you into that party vibe, doesn't it?
Exactly.
You just want to get up and dance.
Exactly. Doing the jig everywhere.
Swing your kilt.
Yeah, exactly. And Keith, who is the lead singer, he's actually going to pipe with Craig as well. So we're going to have two pipers come parade day.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. And everyone's excited about that.
Yeah. I was thinking, so excited.
Yeah, speaking about fundraising, which we do a lot, you and the ladies over at Team Tartan have donated a gorgeous bag made from Allen's Tartan for us to auction off.
Uh-huh.
So thank you so much for that. I can't wait to...
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, we can't wait, because that's going to be... They're always a huge popular hit, and they go for crazy money, and we're here for it. And rumor has it there's another item that you'll be donating, something that belonged to Alan.
Yes. I don't know. Am I allowed to say?
Maybe we should keep... I think we should keep them guessing, but I think it's going to be very popular with everyone.
Yeah.
And I can't
well,
wait to do that.
That he loved, you know, and was very proud to wear, shall we say. I don't think that's given too much away.
Yeah.
No.
Now, Laura, did you want to mention the other fundraiser?
Yes. Eileen, I want to ask you about, I saw the information that you posted on Alan's page about a fundraiser that you're doing for animals, for animal adoption.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Well, I adopted Elsa, as you heard, who you heard a moment ago. She's a wee Chihuahua cross. And Alan and I adopted her from Romania about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And the dogs and cats and stuff in Romania, I mean, obviously, there's animals here that need rescuing and what have you. But what we discovered just before we adopted her was that in Romania, they're actually treated like vermin.
Mm.
That they're really, really not, I know they're strays here and they're picked up and they're taken to rescues and stuff.
Mm.
But in Romania, there's more strays than anything else, you know.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And nobody cares about them. Well, there is a few, obviously, rescuers and stuff. But far more dogs needing rescue than they can cope with, and dog catchers just, you know, and they'll throw like a Chihuahua in a cage with three or four Alsatian-sized dogs and stuff. So it was something that we weren't sure about, but we adopted Elsa. She's been a wee star from the day we got her. Minnie was rehomed. That's my other dog. She's a Jack Russell cross, and I had three cats. I lost one in December, and the one that I lost in December was given to me by my son as a birthday present about 19 years ago.
Aww.
And then the other two have been rehomed as well, so Molly and Archie. So so we've always sort of tried, certainly I've always had pets, but for about the last maybe 35 years we've always tried to rescue. And then Gillian recently rescued, just last year I think, she rescued a wee disabled dog from Romania, a different rescue.
Yes, I've seen pictures.
Yeah, and she again, it was a different rescue, but she got to hear about the Romanian rescues and stuff. And Leslie, she's a cat person. She's got the cats, and she's rehomed and rescued a few cats. I think she's been about three or four, I'm not sure. So we just thought, Alan and I always started to, since we rescued Elsa, we would do, like, if they were having auctions or anything, we would, like yourselves, you know, they would do auctions to raise money. And we would put some items into it and what have you. And then I think one year they were having a Christmas auction, and it was the reunion, and we put two tickets in and what have you, and got quite a few £100 for that.
That's
to raise money for them. And we've just always, that I think the memorial as well, there was a memorial in Edinburgh for I Ran With The Gang, a memorial night, and I think we raised £600 at that as well. We said to people, you know, we're not selling tickets, but if you want to put a donation in, it's going to the animal rescue. So we've always, since we've had Elsa, we've always sort of tried to raise money and raise awareness as well. And know that the rescue that we got Elsa from said that the amount of Americans and Canadians and things that joined the rescue, although they don't, I know they rescue a lot in European countries like Germany and Austria and Holland and stuff like that, don't know so much about getting over to America and Canada and stuff, but there was so many people had joined, you know, in the rescue to help raise funds and stuff like that, so it was amazing. But it's been a while since we've done it, so we thought, right, you know, let's kick off with something kind of animal, sort of Scottish, and see where it goes. You know, every penny counts towards those things,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. I think it's an awesome idea.
Can you tell us a little bit about the item you're auctioning it off? And if people want to just make a donation, where can they do that? How can they do that?
You mean for the dog?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I thought you meant that other one. I don't know. I've never actually really thought about just giving a donation. It would probably be to the Proud Son of Edinburgh PayPal account.
Okay.
Which I don't know the details about.
That's okay. We will.
I'm sorry, I don't know them all.
We will happily promote that. Not a problem. Not a problem at all.
Right. So yeah, I would imagine, you know, we never even actually really thought about if somebody wanted to give a donation or anything, it would be good, you know. But we thought before, you know, we will be trying new things and seeing how they're received and different things like that, and hopefully we'll be able to help our cost, you know, Team Tap and Gillian and Leslie to get some, you know, some help with getting over to New York as well. So we'll be doing quite a few wee things, but we thought we'd start off with, because we've basically, since the tartan started, we've ploughed it back into getting, you know, another weave of tartan done, things like that, things for you know, like machines, cutting machines and stuff like that, and sewing machines, different things like that to help, because it's all handmade you know, by Leslie and stuff like that, and Gillian and I do a bit of the crafting and what have you. So it's always been sort of ploughed back in while people want, you know, to own a wee bit of the tartan, what have you. And anything else has always went to charities. We've tried to, so we've, and not just animal charities, we've tried to support different charities. And the memorial, it was the CHAS, which is Children's Hospices across Scotland.
Oh, yes.
Remember, and we raised over £5,000 for that, so that was brilliant. So we'll always just try and give some, you know, do something for the charities and different things. So
You know, because what you put out there comes back, and I'm a firm believer of that. If you're doing good work, good things are going to happen. If you're being nefarious and not doing what you should, then bad things happen to you.
Well,
you don't have a happy
karma,
life.
I think we call it.
Yes, exactly. Karma. And we all know what karma is.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just nice to be able to do things like that, and it's you know, to know how much you're helping, and you know, it might not be a huge amount of money, but it means so much to them, because they can buy a huge bag of food for, you know, about £10 or something, $12 or whatever it is, and it can feed quite a few of them for, you know, quite a few days. So and the vets costs over in like say Romania and stuff, they're a lot cheaper than they are here.
Yeah.
So, but it's very expensive for the people of Romania, obviously, you know.
Sure.
Just for the basic needs.
Yeah. So you know, what we think isn't that much, you know, maybe like sending £30 probably means that they can maybe spay a stray dog or something and pops out in the street and stuff like that. So it's really, really nice. It's really good to be able to do that. And it's nice to know that, as I say, you're helping in some way.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Oh, absolutely.
But we tried to give to different charities. You know, we'll give to the Macmillan nurses and stuff like that, and we'll give to, you know, the local charities at Christmas for the kids, mm-hmm. the local kids who were, you know, the parents were struggling and stuff like that. So it's nice to do that every now and again. So this is the latest venture, this wee, because we decided we wanted to do something with a wee dog, you know, a wee spotty dog or something.
It's really cute.
And then, you know, made the coat out of Alan's tartan, and we thought, we'll just auction it off for the animal charities, see where it goes, you know.
It's going to do very well, I'm sure.
Maybe start next week or something.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be on the lookout for it, for sure.
We just put a wee taster up.
Yep, and we'll share that when that comes along. Eileen, thank you so much for sitting with us today. This is so special, and it means so much to us. We just think you're wonderful. We love you.
Thank you. I'm sorry for talking so much.
Not at all.
I forget to stop.
Oh, no, you had great stories to tell.
This is going to be our highest rated podcast of all time.
If they can understand me.
Yeah, I think you did great.
Oh my gosh, I understood you perfectly.
Yeah.
I did try to talk slower.
You did great. Thank you so much, Eileen.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Right, take care.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Take care, girls. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We just absolutely adore Eileen. Everyone does. We can certainly see what Alan saw in her. She's just a lovely, lovely lady. We hope this is getting everyone excited for Tartan Day in New York 2022. We have a lot of fun in store up until then. And in the meantime, make sure you send in your donation of just $10 or around £7 to attend Derek's birthday bash on March 20th. You can find all the details in our Facebook group and also on our official website, BayCityRollersFanEvents.com. Thank you for listening and for supporting this monumental event and for just being the best group on the internet. Until next time, keep on rolling.